This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. When it comes to technology, Boston is a mecca. Whether it's clean tech or green tech or biotech, Massachusetts is home to groundbreaking research institutions and entrepreneurs who can take that research to the next level. But as always, there are a few people who really stand out. Scott Kirshner, the innovation economy columnist at the Boston Globe, came up with a list of 15 New England tech innovators that he thinks are doing particularly interesting things. But he didn't just want it to be a laundry list of CEOs.
We didn't want to do an open call for nominations just because we sort of felt we'd get the usual suspects. You know, you'd have every company saying, our CEO is the most innovative person in Boston's innovation economy. So, you know, I kind of reached out to people in my network. We got ideas from other people who cover innovation at the Globe, and really sorted to try to represent the industries that we feel are making, you know, just great contributions from a technology, from a life sciences, and from an energy perspective. So I think that's really what's represented on the list, as well as a few people who make investments in innovative companies.
So those are the three industries you focused on: technology, life sciences, energy.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned that the usual suspects often are CEOs, and your list really includes many people other than CEOs, including some people who don't even have seed money yet.
Yeah, and we didn't want it to be based on, you know, how much is your stock trading at today, how many thousands of employees, but we're just looking for people who are changing the world in some interesting, important, or fun way.
One of the innovators on your list is here with us in the studio. This is Elon Bombs. He's managing director of Launch Capital in Cambridge, which is an investment firm that focuses on seed stage companies. Elon, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So you take things from the idea phase to the reality phase. And I understand you have a special interest in young companies in the Boston area.
We do. We started the company about 3 years ago to really fill a funding gap that was in the Boston market, and then looked broader into the United States economy and found a funding gap kind of in many other cities out there. And the sole belief is that great entrepreneurs exist around us, and they are not just technology companies. So about 65% of our portfolio is in that technology space, some of the more internet and mobile-based kind of companies that you think of. But we do reserve about 35% of the portfolio for other things.
You've also been described as industry agnostic, meaning you really invest in a little of everything. iPhone apps, there's a website you've invested in that allows children to design their own clothing. So you've got a very eclectic investing taste.
Do. Yeah. So the way we think about investing, it's not like we just throw a dart against the wall and out comes a company. We really look at it right now on three kind of basis. So the first is in macroeconomic trends, so the economy getting stronger and what that means for the consumer. So we actually believe that people will start to emerge out of the recession and start to actually shop again, go back to restaurants. But we also believe that people are going to be much more frugal with their money, so looking for good quality at affordable prices, and will trend towards natural and organic, but only when it makes sense from a price and quality comparison point. So we've done a lot of investing along that thesis.
So Elon Bombs of Launch Capital, in addition to you in the studio, we also have Daphne Zohar. She's the founder and managing partner of a venture capital firm called PureTech Ventures. Hi, Daphne.
Hi.
And Daphne, you have been described as a packager. So you're someone who identifies what you think is promising research, and you help that researcher build himself or herself into a company in some ways by finding a CEO, by finding scientific advisors, by finding investors. Tell us what you mean when you say you're a packager.
Okay, well, I would probably describe myself as an entrepreneur, and PureTech as a venture creation company. And the way to think about it is that when people give money for a cause, for example, to cure breast cancer or to cure any disease that's important to them, they envision that that money is going to go and actually have an impact in the near future. But what really happens is that money goes to basic research, which is very important at research institutions. Those researchers work for many years, and then they have a breakthrough. What happens then is a lot of those breakthroughs actually sit in academia and are never actually translated and never become drugs or never become therapies, because there's what's called the valley of death or a funding gap where there's work that needs to be done in order to translate those innovations. So, for example, there might be experiments that need to get done. There might be patents that need to get filed. There might be additional team members that you'd want to put around those technologies. And so what we do at PureTech is we proactively address this valley of death by looking for the most interesting approaches that can cure other major diseases. So, for example, obesity, Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, other areas like that. And then we proactively work to identify those technologies and then to translate those technologies to a point where they will be of interest to commercial partners and large venture capital firms.
How is that different than what any other venture capital firm does?
So what most venture capital firms do is they wait for an entrepreneur to identify a technology or to come up with an idea and to create a company and then get angel investment or investment from groups like Elon's and then get to a point where they're ready to take in large rounds of investment. And I think what we're doing, which is different, is that we actually proactively create those companies. So we're more like the entrepreneur ourselves. So, for example, we were thinking about the area of obesity and how that's a major problem, and most drugs don't work. They have either problems with efficacy or safety. And we got together a group of leading obesity experts and asked them, you know, what are the things that you would do? And so the only things that really work in obesity are gastric bypass surgery and things like that. But those are very invasive, and they're limited to the morbidly obese. And so what they said was if we could do something that addresses those proven mechanisms but administer it as a capsule, that would be really exciting. And so what the team at PureTech did was looked all over the world for technologies that could be administered in a capsule form, but then take up stomach volume and do some of the things that, for example, gastric bypass does. So that's, you know, an example of what we do.
And Scott Kirshner, although Daphne Zohar says she would describe herself more as an entrepreneur than a packager, you describe her as a packager. Why do you call her that?
Look, I think a lot of what happens in Boston is sort of the type of thing that Daphne does, where you see academic research happening. A123 Systems, you know, which was the most successful IPO of last year. They make batteries for Black & Decker cordless tools, and they make batteries for the future electric cars that we're all going to drive. You know, that was MIT research in the chemistry department that sort of was going to become a battery one day, but it was an entrepreneur seeing that and saying, I want to make this a battery soon, and I have a vision for how to, you know, how to make the research relevant to Black & Decker.
Scott, we only have in the studio today two of the innovators who are on your list, but there are a number of others doing very interesting things. One is trying to develop a small flying robot with built-in cameras that could inspect bridges and dams. Tell us a little bit about where that one stands.
Well, that's Helen Grainer, who is one of the founders of iRobot, the company publicly traded now that makes the Roomba vacuum cleaner and also military robots. And basically, the military is starting to buy flying robots, UAVs, to use in Afghanistan and Iraq for all kinds of surveillance missions. I think Helen's idea, and she hasn't talked too much about this company, what they're actually doing, is could you have inexpensive flying robots that a bridge inspector might use to inspect the bottom of the Longfellow Bridge instead of saying, all right, we need to get a barge out there, we need to build scaffolding, you know, it's going to be a multi-week project to do that inspection. Why not fly a robot under there? Why not give, you know, a bomb squad a robot that they could fly into a high-rise building to see what was going on?
You also mentioned a company that's trying to develop a cloth wristband with built-in biosensors, and it would be worn by autistic people in a way that could measure their emotions.
Yeah, you know, apparently if you measure the conductivity of your skin, kind of what's going on electrically on the surface of your skin, how that changes, you can both use it for lie detection. You can use it for market research, so you can show someone a TV ad or a new design of a Coke bottle and see what their reaction is as opposed to what they might say that they like or don't like about it. And this company, Affectiva, has been doing research at the MIT Media Lab for a while, creating these fabric-based wearable wristbands that talk wirelessly to a PC and might be able to give you better insights into what's actually happening to an autistic child or an autistic teen that they can't express in words.
Scott, thank you for that rundown.
Thanks a lot.
Scott Kirshner is the Innovation Economy columnist for the Boston Globe. And Daphne Zohar, thanks to you two for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
Daphne Zohar is founder and managing partner of PureTech Ventures. And also with us was Ilan Bams. Ilan, thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Ilan is managing director of Launch Capital in Cambridge. To learn more about these innovators and the 13 others who couldn't fit into our studio, visit our website, wbur.org/Boston. Stay with us. Coming up after the break...
Tammy, what's your favorite thing about Tommy? I didn't know what Prince Charming was until I met Tommy, and now I know what Prince Charming is.
The wedding story of Tammy and Tommy and other tales from the comedian Mike Birbiglia. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.